On Sunday, President Trump spoke from the Suresnes American Cemetery in France at a ceremony marking the 100th anniversary of the armistice that ended the First World War.
We are gathered together at this hallowed resting place to pay tribute to the brave Americans who gave their last breath in that mighty struggle.
But there was another memorial the President and First Lady did not attend, a visit to a cemetery marking the Battle of Belleau Wood. That decision was roundly criticized and also appeared at odds with the president, who's endorsed increased military spending, asked for a military parade, and just sent thousands of troops to the U.S. southern border. So what do we make of our commander-in-chief's relationship with the armed forces? For that, we turn to a veteran. Jeffrey Korn is a retired Army lieutenant colonel who served for more than two decades in the armed forces, and he's currently a professor of law at South Texas College of Law in Houston.
Well, we know that there was a lot of news that he canceled his visit to Belleau Wood, and many of the headlines indicated it was because of rain. So my first reaction was I really hope there was a compelling reason for him not to be able to make that ceremony. That ceremony obviously had special significance this year, not only because it was the 100th anniversary of the armistice that ended the fighting of World War I, but also because it happened to fall on the 243rd birthday of the United States Marine Corps. And the Marines really did fight valiantly during that war in those areas. And undoubtedly, there are many Marines that are buried at that cemetery. Personally, it perplexes me when we see these type of actions by the president, because he purports to have this incredible respect and admiration for the armed forces. And of course, nobody can get in his mind and know exactly what he feels or believes, but these type of manifestations of respect are very important. And I think that there were many veterans and service members looking at that who probably would have been first perplexed and potentially very disappointed with his failure to attend.
And we've been looking at some data to sort of put this conversation in context, Jeffrey. And there was a Military Times poll from October 2017, and that found that 44% of active duty troops had a favorable view of the president. That was compared to 36% under President Obama. 40% had an unfavorable opinion of him. And once again, these are active duty troops. The percentage of support is even higher among veterans. A Pew poll from last year found that he had a 54% job approval rating among veterans. Again, this was last year. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, I have to say, I'm actually surprised that at the 44%, I would have assumed that it was higher within the active duty force. I think that people need to understand that one of the great things about the military is you learn to kind of tune out a lot of the political noise that's going on in the country, because it's not really your role to be making these type of political judgments in terms of the performance of your duty. You obey your orders. And if you've been in the military for a long time, you've served under presidents that come from both political parties. Sometimes you vote for them, sometimes you don't. Many service members, I would assume, don't vote at all. And so in general, I think the attitude is it's noise. We do our duty. We are accountable to the civilian authorities, and whatever is happening is happening. I think that some of President Trump's campaign comments troubled many people in the military, particularly the dismissive comments about Senator McCain's wartime record and his service as a prisoner of war, or is enduring the experience of being a prisoner of war. And then some of the bombast related to bombing ISIS families and how waterboarding is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. There were probably some people in the service who found that appealing, but my belief is that most members of the service understand that it's much more complex to engage in military operations, and it's not as easy as simply saying we're just going to kill everybody and that's going to be that.
Well, and one of the things that we were most closely watching was a lot of the president's talk prior to the midterm elections about the migrants who are coming towards the United States from Central America. Whether or not that was a political stunt, there were many people who said that it was. The president still deployed thousands of troops. So far, it's about 5,000. It could go anywhere up to 15,000 to the U.S.-Mexico border. They're waiting for a caravan, a quote-unquote caravan, that may or may not even reach the border for weeks, if not months. The New York Times said that some of these troops are there. They're battling heat exhaustion and boredom. How do you explain this type of deployment in terms of cost, not just financial cost, but cost to the folks that are actually on the border, to the soldiers that are there?
I mean, I think it's a difficult question. I don't hold myself out as an expert on the national security aspects of the use of the military domestically in terms of policy reasons. I can tell you that legally, there is a role for the active duty to play to provide support to civil authorities domestically. It's a very complex mission, a very restrictive mission because of a law called the Posse Comitatus Act. What I found troubling, and I think many people found troubling, again, was the rhetoric. The use of the term invasion, coupled with a deployment of a large number of active duty forces to the border, the comment about shooting back if somebody throws a rock. Again, nuance. I mean, if you're a soldier standing on the border and somebody picks up a chunk of concrete and begins to throw it at you, of course you have a right to defend yourself. But the perception was encouraging an over-aggressive and overzealous use of force by military members, which would have catastrophic legal policy and public perception effects. You almost have the feeling of the old saying, it's a solution in search of a problem. You know, they're putting up concertina wire, they're using helicopter assets to transport personnel and do surveillance. Are they getting some training benefit out of that? Yes, whenever you're doing an operation, you get just deploying gives you training benefit. Is it a mission that warrants a commitment of active duty forces in the same numbers that are analogous to what we have in Afghanistan right now? Personally, I think the answer is no, but the president has the prerogative to make these decisions. And if Congress acquiesces and isn't critical about these decisions, then it's going to give him the space to use the military the way he wants in this regard, so long as it's legal and what they're doing there is legal.
Jeffrey Korn is a professor of law at South Texas College of Law in Houston and a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.